Good morning, everyone. Today's daf and yuma is daf yud ches. So we are at the Mishnah on yud ches amud aleph. Okay, how do we get to where we are? We're not only up to pace, we're up even ahead of pace. Well, a large part of that had to do with yesterday's daf. Yesterday's daf, perhaps one of the shorter dafim that we're going to see in Shas. Yesterday's daf and the day prior, both yud tezayin and yud zayin, were a tangent away from the mesecta. We moved away from discussing yuma. We talked about mishnayos and midos and tamid. Inconsistencies, the discrepancy between the Mishnayos and Midos and Tamid, and so the last 2 days, both Tezayin and Yizayin, we tried to resolve those discrepancies. Gave a couple of approaches, one approach on Tezayin, another approach on Yizayin, and good. That brought us back to our Mishnah and Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. We start today with the Mishnah and Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, and then we're moving close to Yom Kippur. Okay, the first Mishnah of the Masechta, going back to Dav Beis Amud Aleph, talked about the Shivas Yemei Afrasha. There are 7 days where the Kohen Gadol is mafresh himself, he sequesters himself into somewhere into the Beis HaMikdash area, the Lishkas Barhedrin, also known as the Lishkas, what's the other name of it? I should know this. Okay, Balvati. Okay, there you go. It's there, it's just sometimes you gotta search for it. Everyone knows the feeling. Okay, and then after the Shivas Yemei Afrasha, so then he goes into Yom Kippur prepared. Okay, why Shivas Yemei Afrasha? So that was a good part of the beginning of the Masechta. Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish had a machlokus, exactly why that was. Fine. Okay, and during those 7 days, what is he doing? So he's preparing. The Gemara says that the Mishnah has told us earlier that during those 7 days he actually does the avoda. And the last thing we discussed in the Mishnah is that because he's a Kohen Gadol, the truth of the matter is he can do the avoda anytime he wants. A Kohen Gadol could step in and do whatever avoda he wants. He can eat whatever carbon he wants. The Gemara says that it's good to be the Kohen Gadol. You could do whatever you want. During those 7 days, specifically, he would go out of his way to do the avoda, the carbon tumid and all the avoda, so that when it came to Yom Kippur, so he's familiar. He's like a regular in the Beit HaMikdash. Good. Ad Khan, that takes us up to where we are now. Right now, we are in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. Masor lo zikanim mizikne beis din. So now you have zikanim. Now he's going to be sitting with the elders. Now Rashi points out that this is going to be for all 7 days. It's not just the last day, but for all 7 days, he's going to be sitting with zikanim. Some of the elders appointed by beis din, or maybe they are actually members of beis din. V'koren l'fan of b'seder ayom, and they read for him seder ayom. And they say to him, Ishi Kohen Gadol. You're going to see that term again and again. Ishi Kohen Gadol. It's like Mr. Kohen Gadol. It's like a term of reverence. You know, it's possible you forgot, right? Parshas Achrimos. How often do we go through Achrimos? It's possible you forgot, or it's possible you never learned. The Gemara is going to just react to that line of the Mishnah. It's possible you never learned. Possible you never learned. He's a Kohen Gadol. He's the highest ranking Kohen officer in the land, and he never learned Parshas Achrimos. So the Gemara is going to ask that question. It's the obvious question to wonder about this Mishnah. So Erev Yom Kippur, Shachris Maminu Asa B'Shar Mizrach. On Erev Yom Kippur, so they would now stand in before Shar HaMizrach, before the Eastern Gate. U'ma'avirin l'fan of parim ve'ilim u'kvasim. And they brought in front of him animals, the animals that he's going to be using that Yom Kippur. They want him to become familiar with those animals. So they present one animal after another, the bulls and the rams and the sheep, kedeshi makir viragil ba'avoda, again to create familiarity, so that when he gets to the avoda, he'll know, oh, that's a sheep, right? That's a cow. I got it. Why? That's a ram.
Why all of a sudden? He's doing it every day.
No, he's doing what he's doing every day is he's doing the avoda, but the avoda could just mean the carbon tumid, which means the sheep. So in other words, but all the kabbalists that are going to be used on Yom Kippur, so they're going to pass it in front of him and help him identify it. Which animal's not mentioned over here? What's the omission? The goat. The goat's not mentioned over here. The Gemara's going to pick up on that. The Gemara's going to wonder. Now, for those 7 days, what was his diet consist of? Whatever he wants. Machel mishteh, he can eat, he can drink. Erev Yom Kippur, however, when you get to Erev Yom Kippur, im chashecha, as it's getting dark, which is funny, we go the other way. Meaning Erev Yom Kippur, im chashecha, as it gets dark in Erev Yom Kippur, so we eat a lot. So to the Kohen Gadol, no, just the opposite. He does not eat a lot. So lo ayu manichin oso lechol harbei, So the problem is that if he eats a lot, he's going to fall asleep. What's the problem with falling asleep? You can't sleep on Yom Kippur. So not the Kohen Gadol. Right? The rest of us, we're allowed to sleep on Yom Kippur, which is good news. Kohen Gadol is not allowed to sleep on Yom Kippur. Okay? And the problem is the Gemara is going to be very clear, is that it maybe lead day tuma, meaning it's possible that having a mission at night, and that would possible him, that would disqualify him from doing the avoda. It was a balkeri. Balkeri is not allowed to do the avoda. So therefore, as we're going to be seeing over the course of these next mishnayos, he's going to be up the entire night, and as a result of him being up the entire night, so you don't want to feed him a lot because you know after a full meal you know exactly what's going to happen. You fall asleep. So therefore, on Erev Yom Kippur, before it gets dark, minimize the amount of food. He'll be able to stay up the whole night.
Aren't they worried about sleep deprivation? Actually, not allowing to do the
yeah. And the answer is yes, they're worried about it, but no, they're not. They're not worried about it where they're going to eliminate sleep deprivation. But you'll see, it's a constant concern that we're going to see through the Mishnayos about sleep deprivation and what we're going to do to help him through his sleep deprivation. But no, it's the worst of the two evils. Meaning, there's the evil of sleep deprivation, then there's the evil of Tumas Keri. So Tumas Keri knocks him out totally. And granted, by the way, that if he goes to sleep,
there's a backup coin just for that.
Right, correct. And if he goes to sleep, he won't definitely be Tumas Keri. But
with the sprinkling, if it makes
okay.
A mistake.
Listen, this is their cheshbon, right?
The backup coin also went go through the whole thing.
Unclear. The backup coin doesn't come up again. We mentioned him in the first Mishnah. The only thing we noted is that he doesn't go through Shivas Yimei Afrasha. Right, so that's the only thing I could say definitively. But after that, we don't really speak much about the backup coin again. Okay, we start with the Gemara Bishlam Shachach Shem Shachach Lechayis. The Gemara says, "Look, I'll tell you what I understand. I understand him forgetting, right? We all do that. That's normal. That's natural. Meaning he learned Parshas Achrei Mos and then he forgot. So he needs a refresher on the Avoda. Fine. So Elo Shem Lo Lamad Mi Mokminan. But the idea that let's teach him because he never learned. He never learned. He's a Kohen Gadol. What does that mean? So Ki Agavna. Sorry. Mi Mokminan Ki Agavna. Zatanya. The Gemara says, look, it's just a simple criteria requirement, a requisite to become the Kohen Gadol. Is that you have to be smart. I mean, not smart. Learned. V'hatanya. V'hakohen ha-gadol me'achav. The Torah, when describing the Kohen Gadol, it says, ha-kohen ha-gadol me'achav. Meaning, we call him Kohen Gadol, but that's based on the Pasuk, and the Pasuk describes him as being greater than the others. And the Braisa says, she'hei gadol me'achav b'koach b'noi b'chachma v'osher. In four categories, he has to be better than everybody else. He has to be stronger and noi, and he has to be a handsome Kohen Gadol, and chachma, and he has to be smart, and ocean, he has to be wealthy. In other words, he has to be categorically heads and shoulders above the rest. Over Acherim Omrim, and according to Acherim, right, another opinion, Minai Shim Ein Lo She'echav Akorin Megadlan Oso. What if he's not independently wealthy? He's got all the other categories, he's just not wealthy. So the, just give me a moment. So She'echav Akorin Megadlan Oso, Tamalam Rav Akorin Gadol Me'echav. He's Gadol Me'echav. How does he become wealthy? From his brothers. In other words, so again, he's got to, I imagine, I'm assuming, that he has to fit the other categories. He has to be Koach and Noi and Chachma. And if it's just a question of Osher, okay, so you go to the other Kohanim and say, look, he needs money. So Gadleu Mishalachav, according to the Acherim. Even if he's not independently wealthy, but you make him wealthy, the other Kohanim make him wealthy. Anyway, but the simple point, however, is that he has to be Chachma, he has to have Chachma. And so how could it be that this Kohen Gadol, who's sitting down together with the Chachamim of the Beis Din, the Zikne Beis Din, and they're for the first time going to go over Parshas Achrei Mos with them? That's literally inconceivable. But the Gemara says, no, it's conceivable. I'm Rav Yosef Lokasha, come in Mikdash Rishon, come in Mikdash Sheni. So the Gemara says, and again, we've seen this idea, and we're going to keep hitting this idea again and again, the difference between Bais Rishon and Bais Sheni. So Bais Rishon, knowledgeable, good. They know Parshas Achrei Mos. Maybe a refresher, but in other words, in general, as we've discussed already in the past, back on Daf Test during the first temple, how many Kohen Gadols were there during Bais Rishon? So there was a Girsa issue. I don't know the exact number, but the Gemara back on Daf Test told us that maybe 18, maybe 12, whatever. In other words, for the 410 years of the first temple, So there were very few Kohen Gadols because they were good and they lived a long life and they served for a long time. But when you get to Bais Sheni, so what did the Gemara describe back on Daf Tes? They were right. They were aside from Shimon HaTzadik and Yochanan Kohen Gadol and maybe a couple of others. There were 300 other Kohanim. And Shimon HaTzadik and Yochanan Kohen Gadol already ate up 120 years of the 420 years of the Second Temple. So basically, of the remaining 300 years, there was 300 Kohanim. And the Gemara said that the Kohen maybe made it through the year, probably didn't. So during the Second Temple, so it was not a position of what it once was. The Kohen Gadol who assumed that position, generally speaking, was not knowledgeable. And not only that, as the Gemara here is about to tell us, they sometimes even paid for the position to become the Kohen Gadol, and the Gemara tells us that right now. This is the Gemara. So, sorry, what happened? I just lost my spot. The Amar, Kam B'Mikdash Rishon, Kam B'Mikdash Sheni, the Amar of Asi, Tarkava Didinari Ailele Marta Bas Baitos, Liyanai Malka, Al De Ukme Le Yoshua Ben Gabla B'Kohani Ravrave. So, a payment of Tarkav is equivalent to 3 Sa'ah, volume of 72 eggs, if that helps. In other words, a lot of money. A lot of money was paid so that, of gold coins, so that Martha Bas Baitos could she paid it to the king Yanai, so that her, how do I say this, fiance? Okay, or, right. De Ukme Le Yoshua Ben Gabla Bekorne Ravave, so that Yoshua Ben Gamla can become the Kohen Gadol. Okay, a number of things over here, a number of points over here. So the larger point of the Gemara is that they paid for the position. Okay, it was sometimes bribery was done in order so that people would get that position. That's the larger point of the Gemara. Just in terms of some of the details of this Gemara over here, so a couple of things. First of all, Yanai HaMelech, we know Yanai HaMelech. He was not a good guy. He was a disaster. The Yanai HaMelech, the Gemara, we saw the Gemara in Brachos, there's a Gemara coming up in Kedushin. He killed the Chachamim, meaning he's more than just someone who accepts bribes. He was somebody who was just a...
He didn't want to denounce the bench in the afternoon.
Correct, that's the Gemara in Brachos, 7th Perek, where he had nobody to bench for him. He didn't know enough to bench, and he killed all the Chachamim, so he couldn't bench. And so he had a problem finding a very good memory. So he had to find somebody to bench for him, so he got Shimon Meshetach, who happened to have been his brother-in-law. It was his wife's husband. Okay, so Tosus over here points out, the only Tosus on the Amud, Tosus points out it's got to be a different Yanai HaMelech, meaning it cannot be that the Yanai HaMelech that we generally discuss, who's the Sone Yisrael and the murder of Chachamim, can't be that's what we're talking about over here, who over here also, not the best, but the worst thing that we could say about him is that he accepted a bribe to put up a Kohen Gadol. Okay, so that's point number one. So who Yanai HaMelech is not the same Yanai HaMelech that we normally know. Who's Yoshua Ben Gamla? So we know the answer to. Okay, become popularized by the recent movement of the Ben Gamla school, but the Yoshua Ben Gamla, let's just talk about him as the Gemara relates to him. Yoshua Ben Gamla, he was the one who started the first educational program, the Jewish educational program, where it would be funded by public money. Right, that's Yoshua Ben Gamla. And the Gemara, it's in Baba Basra, if I'm not mistaken, 2nd Perek, the Gemara over there says that Yoshua Ben Gamla was a great guy. Meaning that what he did in order so that everyone would receive a Jewish education, I mean, this is going back to Bais Sheni, it's going back to the Second Temple, so it was great. So over here, it's the same Yoshua Ben Gamla as we have over here. So all things considered, so it's a little bit strange where the Gemara says that basically his rich wife, wealthy wife, basically bribed Yanai HaMelech so that he would become the Kohen Gadol. He's not deserving of becoming the Kohen Gadol. So this is addressed by the Tosfos Yeshanim, where basically he says he wasn't the best. Okay, I'll quote it. Martha Bat Baisos, the Tosfos Yeshanim writes, Amana Ashir Aisa, she was a rich widow. I'm reading from the Tosfos Yeshanim. Small print, it's okay, it's also killing my eyes as well. V'kitcha Yoshua Kodem Shinis Namne. So she was betrothed to Yoshua Ben Gamla before he was appointed as Kohen Gadol. V'achar kach nes namli as Kohen Gadol, k'damrin b'yavamos. And then he was appointed to be Kohen Gadol. Now, mind you, by the way, as a Kohen Gadol, right,
widow.
Right, that, right. It presents a marriage problem. Now, I don't know, right, because a Kohen Gadol can only marry a Besula. So I don't remember, and someone maybe...
A Kohen can marry.
All right, a Kohen can marry a widow, but a Kohen Gadol. So remind me, I don't remember, right, and I should have looked it up, right? So let's say you're a Kohen married to a widow, and then you got elevated to the position Kohen Gadol. Does that mean you have to divorce your wife? So offhand, I do not remember the answer to that question. Anyway, I assume no, but I don't know if I'm right. And the Gemara over here, Tosfos Yeshanim over here, quoting the Gemara in Yevamos, look, she paid for him to become the Kohen Gadol. Hard to imagine that he becomes a Kohen Gadol only so that they would they couldn't remain married. All right. Anyway, I don't know. I don't know, but the point that I want to draw out is just simply, well, I'm just reading on the Tosfos Yeshanim. Adu kimta li Yoshua ben Gamla, the Afa gav shechashiv haya. Now Tosfos Yeshanim points out he's a quality person. So kedashka chan lekama shasa shnei garlo shel askara. In fact, the Gemara in Yuma later on Daf Lamed Zayin is going to mention him as doing something which was beneficial to the Beit Hamikdash. Shelzavu maskir no sol shevach v'aminu beperek lo yachbor. And then he quotes the Gemara in Baba Basra. Meaning he was the one who instituted the Jewish educational system. So he's a quality person. So of all the examples that we gave of somebody who bribed him his way into the position of Kohen Gadol, we're talking about Yoshua ben Gamla. So Tosfos Yeshanim writes, Mikom Makom, Hayu Baalei Torah V'Chashuvim Mimenu, U'Ru'uyim Limnos Yoser. He wasn't the best qualified person. There were people that were better qualified than him. Other Kohanim who should have gotten the tap of the Kohen Gadol position, but through the funding of his wife, through his wife's money and resources, so he got the position. Okay, anyway, so just a couple of interesting things in terms of who Yanai Melech was and who Yoshua ben Gamla was, and fine. But again, the larger point of the Gemara is, yes, it's possible that the Kohen Gadol never heard Chumash. And it's amazing, just the amount of chutzpah it takes to be assumed the position of Kohen Gadol and to do the Avodah of Yom Kippur, and to hear for the first time, hey, here's what's supposed to happen. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and just, it's rather remarkable. But the Gemara says that's by Shaining. That typifies by Shaining. Erev Yom HaKippurim Shachris, the Gemara continues, we're right in the middle of the Amud. Tana Afa Si'irim. Now the Braisa says also make sure that he knows about the goats. Meaning, remember, we're talking about the Mishnah now where various animals were marched in front of him so that he's familiar with the bulls, the rams, the sheep. Now, our Mishnah doesn't mention goats. The Braisa says, Afasi Irim, goats as well. Tomorrow we're going to be using goats. Two goats, to be specific. V'tani didam maitama lo. So what about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah clearly is omitting the goats. So Tanasirim came into Al Chait Kaasu Chashadaite. So the Gemara says it's a psychological issue, because what you're going to do is you're going to pass the goats in front of him. The goats are there to be mechaper for the sins, but basically reminds the Kohen Gadol, you know, the Jews have a lot of sins. And that'll lead to Chalisha's Daito. It'll weaken his resolve. Oh no, the Jewish people, and they're sinning, and without knowing anything specific. But it just...
open to Yom Kippur. I mean, that's why he's there. So
It's not a surprise. It's just, in other words, you know about something, and then it's in your face. And when it's in your face, it's harder. It's just harder. And basically, you want to try to keep his spirits up. Kohen Gadol, I assume the adrenaline will get him going. But the day before Yom Kippur, like, you know, why do I need to remind him about all the Jewish people's sins? So, Ihachi Parnami Achet Hudasi. So the Gemara says, okay, but so what about the par? Meaning the par of the Kohen Gadol is brought, right, funded by the Kohen Gadol, Mechaper for the Kohen Gadol, and for all the sins of the other Kohanim. And meanwhile, our Mishnah had the bull walk right in front of the Kohen Gadol on Erev Yom Kippur. So the Gemara's answer is, Par Kimada Allah V'alachava Kohanim Hudasi. So the Gemara answers like this. When it comes to the Kohen Gadol, regarding his own sins and regarding the sins of other members of the Kohanim, he knows his family. Meaning the Kohanim, not a large population, and they're all family, and he knows them all. And if anyone is going off the beaten path, so he'll speak to them, he'll reprimand them. He has a certain amount of control over the sins of the Kohanim. But when it comes to the rest of the Jewish people, lo yada, He can't possibly know what the sins of the other Jewish people, and all he's left is just his imagination of what could the Jewish people possibly be doing wrong. And so it's just Chalisha's Das. Good. So basically the Gemara says when it comes to the par, yes, the par comes as a result of chait, but that's something he can handle. It's something he can deal with. He has control over that. But when it comes to the chait of Klal Yisrael, so that you're just going to bring the seer in front of him, and it'll just lead to Chalisha's Daita. I'm Ravina Haina Darmininshi. Ravina says there's an expression, an old expression used by people, and based on this Gemara, we now understand the expression. Ibarachtech Daila. Let's say your nephew is a policeman. Now, policeman over here, not the best way to describe it. Let's say a tax collector. Okay, I know Rashi says Shoter HaMelech, but Shoter HaMelech over here means, now he's a policeman of the king, but basically he collects for the king. So you know what? Avoid your nephew. Avoid him. So Havechaze Bishuka Kame Lo Sachlif. If you see him in the marketplace, so don't walk in front of him. Okay, and why? So based on the Gemara that we just saw, the reason why is obvious. Because just like the Kohen Gadol knows everything about all the other Kohanim, because they're family members. And if they're doing something wrong, the Kohen Gadol will know it. So too, your nephew, he knows you. So, and he's collecting for the government, for the king. As Rashi points out, he'll know exactly how to hit you up. Mitoch shaya makirech, Rashi, I'm reading Rashi. Mitoch shaya makirech, mitchila bakihu ba'oshrech. He knows all about your wealth. He knows where you keep that money. He knows where your offshore accounts are. He knows everything. And so therefore, avoid him, says the Gemara, and Rashi says, because he knows exactly where to go. All right. Tanya. Sorry. And now we're going to be talking about diet. For the rest of today's daf, we speak about diet. Now, diet is important for the Kohen Gadol because the last thing we want the Kohen Gadol to do is to have any type of a mission on Yom Kippur. So, again, he doesn't go to sleep on Yom Kippur, but, in other words, we also want a diet that will help him not fall asleep. So, for the rest of today's daf, we get to speak about what foods are good and what foods are not good. So, Tanya Rabbi Huda ben Nekusa Omer Machin Loso Slosos Ubeitzim Kedela Masmaso. So, a suggestion that was made by Rabbi Huda ben Nekusa, and that is egg and bread. Okay? Give him egg, give him... Now, slosos really is flour, but I assume it's referring to bread.
No.
Okay. Fine. Flour, okay. I mean, the flour's got to be prepared somehow. Anyway, right, a diet high in fiber and high in egg. Kedela masmaso. Masmaso explains Rashi. It basically serves as a laxative, and so therefore, before Yom Kippur, he'll be totally cleaned out. And Rashi points out the benefit of that would be he won't need to use the bathroom on Yom Kippur. By using the bathroom on Yom Kippur would for him just simply be an inconvenience. And it would divert his attention. So therefore, basically clean them out before Yom Kippur. So Amrulo kol shekei shatam avil idechimam. So they say to him, meaning they, presumably the Chachamim, say that's a really bad idea, not a good idea. Right? It'll lead to chimam, meaning those foods generate internal heat in the body, and it'll lead to carrying. That's exactly what we want to avoid. Tanya Simchas Amar Mishum Rabbi Meir Ein Machin Oso Lo Avi V'Amilei Lo Avave. So don't give him Avi. Now Avi is Rashi Tevos. We'll get to what they mean in just a second. Lo Avave, more Rashi Tevos. We'll get to what that means in just a moment. V'Yesh Omer Maflo Yain Lavan, white wine as well. So Lo Avi Lo Esrog V'Lo Beitzim V'Lo Yain Yashan. So don't give him Esrog. Okay. Eating Esrog. The lo beitzim, the eggs, again, eggs are no good, and yain yashan, and not old wine. The amri le lo abave, now some have it as not avi, but rather abave, and what are we going to do with that extra bays? Lo esrog, velo beitzim, velo basar shamein. Fatty meat, and lo yain yashan. Okay? So these things all lead to tuma, all lead to him becoming a bal keri, so these are all to be taken away from his diet on Erev Yom Kippur. V'yeshomer maflo yain lavan, mipnei shayain lavan, mevi'ez adam lidei tuma. White wine will lead to tumah. It'll lead to him becoming a bal keri. Tana Rabbana. We learned on a brisa. Now this brisa is going to take us a little bit off topic, just a little bit. And this brisa is going to be discussing a zav. Just a quick introduction, something we talked about in the past a number of times, but just to make sure that we understand, we have our bearings. Azav, very similar to a Balkari, is Tameh. Now, Azav is a discharge, much like a Balkari is a discharge. But as Rashi points out, right here on the Daf, you can see in the second to last Rashi, there are physical, actual anatomical differences between Azav and a Balkari. Balkari is just a regular seminal emission, and Azav is another type of discharge. It comes out from his private area, but it is different in viscosity, it's different in coloration, it's different, it's a different type of discharge. Probably the best way we could think about it, although I'm not saying this is a correct interpretation, is it could be like a gonorrhea. In other words, but it's just simply, it's another type of mucus discharge that comes out of the private area, and that's Zava. Again, I'm sorry, Zav. Zava is for a woman. Different story. We're now just talking about a male discharge. Now, again, I don't know what it is. That's the easiest way to say it, but just to have some idea of what we're talking about. Now, if a man has a Zav discharge, so he's Tameh. Now, based on the number of times that he has a Zav discharge, so he'll become Tameh for either one day, or it could be that if he has a multiple Zav discharge, he'll be Tameh for 7 days. Now, during those 7 days, he needs Shiv and Akim. He needs to count 7 clean days free of any type of discharge. And if in the event he has a discharge during those 7 days, so then he has to recount again, then he has to count Shiv and Akim again. And if he has enough, if he's a Zav Gadol, if he has a 3-time discharge, at the conclusion of a Shiv and Akim, at the conclusion of 7 clean days, on the 8th day he has to bring carbon in order for him to become in order for him to be able to go in back into the base of Mikdash and eat carbon. Okay, this is the story of a Zav. Now a Zav and a Balkari both make him Tameh, but there's a fundamental difference between a Zav versus a Balkari. Again, not just an anatomical difference, but a physiological difference, but there's also a difference in halacha. When a man's a Balkari, it doesn't matter why it is that he had a discharge. Whether it came for internal reasons, whether it was an onase, it does not matter. Meaning, he just simply, the fact that he had a Balkari discharge makes him tummy. But when it comes to a Zav, so the halacha is, it's megufo velo machmas onso. It has to come because it was internally generated, and not machmas onso, and there wasn't any type of external cause. Once there was an external cause that brings about the Zav discharge, he is not Tamei. The only way he becomes Tamei, the Zav, is only Migufo, and not Onso. So basically what the Gemara now is going to recount is that if a Zav eats any of these foods that we just described, and as a result of that he's going to have a Zav discharge, he's not Tamei. Okay, that's considered, I know he ate the food and the food's inside of him, but that's considered an external cause and not internally generated. So the Gemara, so the Braisa, let's, with all that in mind now, well, let's begin the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, Zav Tolan Lo B'Maichal. So a Zav, he can literally hang it on the food. Blame the food. That's legitimate. That's fine. So in other words, if he ate a certain type of food and he has a Zav discharge, he can blame it on the food. These are Rashi Tevas. We'll explain what they are in just a moment. Therefore, the Zav should not eat any of these foods. So what are these foods? So Chagvi is an acronym for milk, cheese, egg, and wine. Lo gavam, megrisim, shapol, some sort of bean juice, ubasar shamein, and fatty meat, umuryas, and the fat that comes off the fish. And in terms of all the other things mentioned, meaning all of the foods that lead to tuma, so that includes what? So that includes the following. 5 things will promote a discharge. And that is shum. Shum is garlic. Shechlayim, some sort of vegetable. Cress. Chag lagagot. Translate English as purslane. Doesn't do anything for me. I don't know what that is. Beitzim are eggs. And gargir, rocket, which is another type of vegetable. Okay. Right. Rashi says it's aruga. I know it's some sort of, right, some sort of leaf, some sort of salad. Okay. Period. All right, so that's the things they should avoid. Tosfos Rishonim asks really a simple question, and it's a good one. What do you mean he should avoid those foods? I'd go the other way. I would say for the Zav, don't avoid those foods. Eat those foods. Because again, Right. In other words, the halacha is regarding a zav is that any time that the discharge comes as a result of an external cause, so then he's not tamei. So I would say to the zav, not don't eat these foods, eat them. Because if you're going to have a discharge from these foods...
Why don't we say since there's a suffix...
Okay. Right, in other words, you don't exactly... Right. Speaking as a true doctor, you don't know the exact cause. It could be a contributing factor. Okay, fine. Good. It's certainly a possibility, but Tosfos Yeshonim gives a very fundamental answer to this question. So, Ein Machil Aso Chagbi Tema. No, there are two questions in the Tosfos Yeshonim. I want the second question. So, just skip a line. V'im Tomer. Amaylo Ha'achil L'Zav. Why don't you feed it to the Zav? Meaning, why not? So, V'halo Eino Mitame Ba'ones. So, in other words, because it won't make him Tame, it's considered an external cause. And so the Gemara says, avoid feeding him this. So Tosfos Yeshonim asks, why avoid? Do it. So he gives a very fundamental answer. Yesh lamar. Demikomakom mia sasra. Afilu ba'ones kedidam b'masechet zavim. Uvenida b'perek b'nos kusim. So Tosfos' answer over here is very fundamental. It won't make him tamei. You're right. In other words, the halacha is for a zav to become tamei. So it needs to be migufo v'lamachmas onso, an internally generated ziva discharge, and not externally generated. You're absolutely right. But once he's a zav, so now we need shiv nekiyim. He needs to count 7 clean days. 7 clean days means days that are free from any type of discharge. And even if that discharge comes out as a result of external cause, that still will be soser. It still will contradict the 7 clean days, meaning I'll have to start again. So the reason why he cannot eat these foods, we're talking not in order to bring the onset of his zivas, he's a zav already. The problem now is that he needs 7 clean days, and even if he has a discharge machmas onso, that will negate the counting, and he'll need to count again. So Tosfos says that's why we are trying to control his diet and prevent him from having any type of discharge. Okay, so a basic answer over here. And so again, it comes out according to Tosfos Yeshonim, and he quotes, and he has support. He quotes the Mishnah in Zavim, he quotes the Gemara in Nida. But based on this, it comes out now that for the onset of Zivos, it's Megufa V'lamaz Machma so-and-so. But for the Shiva Nekim, any discharge will disrupt the Shiva Nekim.
There's no
Shiva Nekim,
this is the onset.
Now, that's Tosfos Yeshonim's first question, which is, by the Kohen Gadol, we did control his diet, but what do we say? Lo avi, lo abave, meaning it was just it wasn't a major diet change. It was not esrog beitzim yain yashan and some add to it also fatty meat. And meanwhile, for the zav, we give a whole long list of things that he cannot eat. So that's Tosfos Yeshonim's first question: Why aren't the list the diet lists parallel with one another? Meaning, isn't it the same concern? So Tosfos Yeshonim basically says, Tema, I read inside. Okay, in other words, for the Kohen Gadol, we're not going to be that machmir, where we're going to control his diet that much. All right, that's not as exciting as an answer as the second Tosfos Yeshonim. Okay, in the meantime, we move on. We are now on Amud Beis. Yudches Amud Beis. V'yatsa echad al asadel laket orot. Gemara quotes a pasuk from Malachim Beis. He went in order to get orot. Orot over here are some type of herb. Tana Mishmei de Rabbi Meir Zegargir. It's rocket. Okay, the same one that we just described. Amar Rav Yochanan Lamani Krashman orot. Shimeiros Asaninayim because it illuminates the eyes. Good for the eyesight. I know how they say carrots are good for the eyesight. So the Gemara in Yuma Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis says that Gargir is good for the eyesight.
What is that today?
Yeah, it's called again. I have in my Gemara. I wrote rocket on the top. Okay, that doesn't mean anything to me. Okay, I don't know. I'm Rav Yochanan Lamani Krashman Arod. I just read that. I'm sorry. I'm Rav Huna. Hamotzi Gargir Miachol Achlo Chlovi Imlav Ma'aviro Agabe Einav. So if you can eat it, great. And if you can't eat it, and it's too sharp, it's too bitter. I don't know. So then you take it and you rub it on your eyes. I'm Rav Papa Begargir Mitzarana. So the Rav Papa says, make sure to get the right gargir. In other words, it's got to be the one growing right on the border, right on the edge of the field. Amar Rav Gidol, Amar Rav Achsanai lo yochal beitzim, v'lo yisham b'taleso shal ba'abayis. The Gemara now is going to segue from here into the Mishnah about, look, we just went over Gemara regarding the Kohen Gadol, foods that will bring about Tumah, foods that will make him a Balkeri, and now the Gemara says we'll translate that into various halachas regarding being a Balkeri and a man being a Balkeri. So he says, Achsana lo yocha beitzim. If you are a guest in somebody's house, in somebody else's house, and you're sleeping in their bed, so you shouldn't eat beitzim, don't eat eggs. Because again, as we've been discussing for the bulk of today's daf, the egg is going to bring about a keri emission, and you're sleeping in somebody else's house, then it's not derech eretz. It's just simply not appropriate to do anything to bring about an emission in somebody else's house. But lo yisham betaleser shabal bayis, and also don't borrow your baal bayis's clothing, and again have a discharge while wearing someone else's clothing. Again, it's just simply lack of derech eretz. Okay. And here we get to the Gemaras, where famous Gemaras, but we're here. Rav Kimikla Darshish. So Rav went to the town of Darshish. Machriz man havya leyuma. So he says, Rav visiting this really far away place, middle of nowhere. I don't know where it is, but he says, I'd like to get married. Who would like to be Mrs. Rav? Lack of better term. So who would like to be Mrs. Rav for just simply one day? So Rav Nachman kad mikla lechash leshach natziv machriz man havel yuma. And Rav Nachman did a similar thing when he went to the town of Shach Natziv. He said, "Who would like to marry me for just one day?" Now, what's the point of this? The larger point of this is very simple: that the Gemara just went through, do things to avoid being a balkeri, meaning a man should not be a balkeri. Okay. So, in the context of husband and wife, obviously that's a mitzvah. But outside the context of husband and wife, even if it's a nocturnal emission, still it should be avoided. So what these Amoraim did in order to avoid it, now to us it may seem like great lengths. It might seem that way. Okay. But still, the Gemara's point is that you see how important it was for them not to be a Balkari, and so that even though that means they're going to go to a four-way place, and even though they're going to marry a wife for what seems to be the simple pshat in the Gemara, is just a day, but do so in order to avoid being a Balkari.
It would divorce
the Hatanya. Now, I don't know a lot of the details. I know there's a lot of questions. I know. So, but I will tell you this. The Gemara is going to go through a series of Q&A on this practice of Rav and Rav Nachman. So I'll share with you the Gemara's Q&A, and we'll go through a little bit of Rashi and a little bit of Tosas together, but I don't know if I can answer so many questions that comes out from this. Vatanya, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Amar lo yisa adam isha ben medina zu veyelech v'yisa isha ben medina acheres. Not a suggested practice. It's not usur, it's not prohibited, but certainly not suggested. Well, the truth of the matter is, the way Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says it, lo yisa, it sounds like it's prohibited. It could be that this is an isra midrabanan. I'm not sure exactly how to phrase it, but here's the issue. You marry a wife here, and then you go off to a faraway land, and you marry a wife over there. Now, polygamy, that's fine. Okay, again, I recommend it, no. And nowadays, for the last 1,000 years, banned. Okay, but in other words, the idea of marrying more than one wife is not the issue. The issue is that you're going to be fathering children here and over there. And again, the Gemara is not getting into the whole support and being a good parent and being a good father, I don't want to diminish that at all. It's just so obvious. I don't want to make a big deal of it. But obviously, it's better to be a present parent than a non-present parent. But the Gemara is dealing with a halachic issue, and that is, so Shema Yizdav Guzu Eitzel Zu V'Nimsa Ach Nosei Achoto. The problem is like this. You're going to father children here, you're going to father children there. So then later on, right, a shidduch is going to be read between your son and your daughter. They don't know their siblings with one another, right? You never sat them down and said, look, here's, I got some news for you. You have a sibling. Okay, whatever. Does mom know? Okay. let's cut down on the drama. But the problem is that the brother and the sister don't know that they're brother and sister with one another. So therefore the Gemara says don't do it. Don't marry a wife here and don't marry a wife over there and father children in both locations because the children may not know that their siblings with one another, marry one another, and umemale kol ha'olam kula mamzeros. And what's going to happen now is that if they get married and if they have children, the children are going to be mamzerim. V'alzeh nemar malar zima. And on that, the Gemara says, Malar Zima, that fills the land with Zima. Amri Rabbanan Kala Yisrael Asal Good. So that's the first Q&A of the Gemara. So the first question of the, well, that's the first Q of the Gemara. How can Rav go and how can Rav Nachman go to another town and marry a woman, albeit for just a day, father, child? Aren't we worried about Mamzeris? Amri Rabbanan Kala Yislahu. So the Gemara says, no. Not a concern, not a worry. They are Rabbanan. They are not just Rabbanan, but they are a noted Rabbanan. And people will know, I am the son of Rav. I am the son of Rav Nachman. And so therefore, there will never will be a point where you're going to find a woman and marry her and not know that she's your sister. So the Gemara now introduces another issue. And that's what the Gemara, what we'll call Dam Chimud. Dam Chimud comes up only a couple times in Shas, this being one of them, where the idea is that when a woman experiences a sudden emotional rush, so it's a possibility that she will induce a bleeding. So it's called Dam Chimud, right? Literally translated as blood of desire. And so she'll be a neder for 7 days. So Tavuli Nase, the halacha is that when you propose to a woman to marry her, and Nispaisa, and she accepts, she agrees, Tzricha Leishev Shivanakim. So you need Shivanakim. So you need 7 days. So how could it be now that Rav goes into a city and basically sets himself up with a woman over there? He can't be intimate with her on that very day. So the Gemara gives a couple of suggestions. Rabbanan Odu have a modu. Lohu, mikadam have a mikadme, or mishar bishlucha. So answer number one of the Gemara is that they would herald his arrival 7 days in advance. The woman, sight unseen, will say, oh, I'd love it. I'd love the opportunity to be married to Rav Nachman, 7 days in advance. And so therefore, if in fact there's Dam Chimud, that will be taken care of so that when he actually arrives in the place, the woman will be prepared for him. That's answer number one. Ibais Ema, the Gemara gives a second answer. Yehuda have a miyachta lehu, lefishein adam, and mishesh lo pas besalo, lemishein lo pas besalo. So the Gemara's second answer is that they would be miyached. Now I'm just going to leave the words right now translated literally, and then we're going to see an interesting Rashi and an interesting Tosfos. So they would be miyached the woman, literally seclude herself with that woman, because you cannot compare somebody who has bread in the basket to somebody who does not have bread in the basket. What exactly does the Gemara mean over here? So let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says yichude ba'ama. Ein is kaken lahen ela she'anasu isha im et avik misha ein lo isha. So Rashi says like this. Ein achinam, you're right. This is the second answer. This is not the I will send the messenger 7 days ahead and herald his arrival. No. This is the answer of Rav goes to town, Rav Nachman goes to town, and they marry a woman. Dam chimud. There's going to be a bleeding, and there's going to be a 7 day waiting period. So the way Rashi presents the Gemara, fine. They're not going to be intimate with one another. But the knowledge that you will have a wife and that you will be able to be intimate with her 7 days from now, that will take care of the Balkari issue. And that's what the Gemara means, according to Rashi, when the Gemara says, Ein odome mi sheyesh lo pas besalo, mi sheyesh lo pas besalo. Bread in the basket. Bread in the basket is this idea that I may be hungry right now, but if I have bread in the basket, I won't be suffering. I won't have much anxiety, because I know that eventually I'll be able to eat. That's pas besalo. Mi she'ein lo pas besalo means there's no bread in the basket, meaning that I don't know when my next meal is coming, and that produces a tremendous amount of anxiety. So the way Rashi understands the Gemara over here, and the Gemara's answer over here, is basically the same point. That enachinami, right now, the Rav and Rav Nachman cannot be intimate with their wives, but 7 days from now they can be. That's considered pas besalo. That's Rashi over here. Tosfos, very interesting. Tosfos writes, it's a long Tosfos, but we're just going to look at the beginning of it. So Tosfos writes, Yichud ba'ama hava miyachlu, perish Rashi, quotes Rashi, lo yubayin alein, ela mizyachlin imahem v'sulo. So Rashi says they would be together, they would enjoy each other's company, and that would be enough. So Tosfos asks, v'hikshu ri, in kein kevin da'asurin lavo aleha, my pas besalo ika. So if they are, If he's restricted from her, if he's prohibited from her, you're really going to call that pas besalo? And Tosfos can't imagine, and Tosfos therefore gives a different pshat, an alternative pshat, in terms of what exactly is happening over here.
Because in 7 days, he'll be gone.
Right.
Where will she be?
Correct. So my chavrusa, Rabbi Greijauer, so he pointed out, and he spoke about this on Shabbos also, he pointed out that Rashi and Tosfos over here about this idea of pas besalo. So he says, if you look around Shas, you'll find that they are consistently disagreeing about this very same point about the nature of pas besalo. So he pointed out, I'm just going to share with you, these are just great observations. The Gemara in Kiddushin, right? The Gemara in Kiddushin, two places, but we're in the high school, we're doing the Gemara on Daf Lamed. So the Gemara in Kiddushin over there talks about whether you should get married first or you should learn Torah. What should you do first? So the Gemara says, the Gemara gives a very cryptic answer of halan v'halahu. Meaning, I'm sorry, first the Gemara says, I'll give you two opinions, Rav Yochanan versus Rav Shmuel Amarav, where according to Rav Yochanan, first learn and then get married. According to Rav Shmuel Amarav, no, you first marry and then you get, and then you learn. And the Gemara then says, lo pligi, they're not arguing, halan v'halahu. The Gemara simply says, one's talking about what the practice in Eretz Yisrael, and the other's talking about the practice in Bavel. What does that mean? The Gemara doesn't explain. So if you took a look at Rashi over there, Rashi says, here's what the Gemara means. If you're living in Bavel, so here's the program. First get married in Bavel, and then go off and learn yeshiva. And go to Eretz Yisrael and go learn in yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. And then you come back to your wife. Now, this Pshat and Rashi is obviously very difficult because don't you have to support her and you're just going to marry her and desert her? And it's a difficult Pshat. But the one point, however, which Rabbi Greijauer pointed out, and it's just a great observation, is that what Rashi and Tosfos are arguing about is the following. Rashi says, once you marry her, you won't have any more hirurim. It'll take care of any type of illicit thoughts. Why? Because you have a wife. And you're going to go back to her eventually. And Rashi says, you know what that's called? That's called pas besalo. That's bread in the basket. Meaning it'll remove all anxiety. Even though you marry her and you're going off to yeshiva. And you're not going to come back for, I don't know, 6 months, a year, 2 years, however long you decide to stay in yeshiva. Rashi says that takes care of any type of hirurim. Tosfos over there, right over there, says it can't be, can't possibly be, that you marry a woman, you walk away, and that takes care of your hirurim. So once again, Rashi and Tosfos over there has that same achlokus of what's considered pas besalo, where Rashi says as long as there will be a point in the future, even if it's not the immediate future, as long as there's a point in the future where you can be intimate with her, that will take care of any type of hir, her, or balkari. Another, and Tosfos gives a totally different pshat in the Gemara over there. Okay, just one other example, Kedushin on Chav Beis, right? It's just Rabbi Greijauer was just talking about this, that's why I got everything in my head. But the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Chav Beis, where the Gemara over there talks about Eishes Yifas Tohar, right? So you go to war and you see a beautiful woman over there, so what you could do is you can marry her. Now, what exactly happens is not totally clear. Meaning, so Rashi says, here's what you'll do. You won't have relations with her out there on the battlefield. You'll take her home, and 30 days later, after you go through the whole process, then you can have relations with her. And Rashi says, and your Yetzer Hara is taken care of. Why? Pas besalo. Because once again, once you have a date coming up ahead where you can have relations with her, that'll take care of the Yetzer Hara. Once again, you look at Tosfos over there, so Tosfos makes the same exact objection. I understand, 30 days from now you're having relations, and that'll take care of your Yetzer Hara. So Tosfos says no. He says you can actually engage in relations with her right there on the battlefield. And right, in the Rambam holds like that as well. And there are a lot of strong proofs that in that particular scenario, Tosfos seems to be more correct, if I can say that. But the sons of David is the example he brings over there. Anyway, but again, there's this big machlokus between Rashi and Tosfos, exactly what pas besalo is. And once again, right here on this daf, it's so clear, you can see it so clearly, where Rashi says they're not going to be intimate with one another, but the idea that they can be intimate 7 days from now will take care of any type of hero, any type of balkari. Where Tosfos says no, Tosfos says it can't be. So once again, this Rashi Tosfos debate of pas besalo. Okay, quickly to review. So we saw the Gemara today. We went from Mishnah to Mishnah, station to station today. So we saw that the Kohen Gadol 7 days would go over the Parsha of Acharei Mos. He would go through the Erev Yom Kippur. Actually, animals would be marched in front of him so that they'd be familiar. Not the goat, according to our Mishnah. The Gemara explained why not the goat. His diet needs to be altered on Erev Yom Kippur so that he won't lead to sleep and he won't lead to being a Balkari. And once the Gemara went on to the discussion of Balkari, so then the second half of today's Amud dealt with what were some of the means that were done by various samurai in order to prevent being a balkari? And again, to us, it would seem to be somewhat excessive means, but certainly the idea of the Gemara is speaking to us in terms of how important it is to try to avoid being a balkari. So we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from the Mishnah.